Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Y'all looking forward to a bigger building here shortly? I am too. Pretty excited. Floor's coming together. That's an awesome thing. But you know, we had a pretty. I thought we had a pretty decent time last night. Us meeting up and everything, and getting some things out on the table. And I know for me, one of the things is, you know, it's been a pretty tough week for me. And it's a tough week is because I've been seeing my shortcomings, where I fall, my lack of diligence. You know, I'm seeing for what it is. You know, why I'm in the position I'm in certain situations. It's because my own butt put me there. And, you know, I praise God for it so I can see what's going on. I can seek the Lord to overcome it in Him and know what to do about it. Because if we don't ever see these things don't ever rise up in us and shows me where I'm have fallen or where I have not been obedient to Him or I have not submitted this unto Him. And I know it's because He shows me this because He loves me. And He gives me a way to deal with it in Him. I can only do it in Him. But if I don't ever see that, I'm just going to be walking around with that crap. Walking around going, I don't understand the problem. No problem sitting right here on my lap and my heart. What I've been doing with what He's given me. Or not doing. Thank you, Brad. That's more the answer than anything, is what I've not been doing. And, you know, I know we've been through this before, but I want to go to Hebrews 12 this morning. And I'm going to read through this first part, but the second part is where I'm really probably going to start talking. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We give it place on a drop of a hat, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us, looking unto Jesus, the author, finish for our faith, the perfect example, the one that finished the work, the one that did it. And you know He has set you free to do just that. We can go to Romans 8 where He talks about if we live after flesh, we shall die. If we live without the Spirit, we shall have life. And I'm paraphrasing that very much. But He's reconnected by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. See, when Adam ate of that fruit in the garden, to him he was dead. Where are you, Adam? He didn't see him anymore. He didn't recognize him. Because the sword came down and cut off his soul and his spirit between the two. And what Jesus did on that cross, and I just want to go back to the basis of this real quick. What Jesus did on that cross by shedding His blood for my sorry behind, reconnecting my spirit and my soul back together so that I have that choice to serve Him in the spirit. And I can't please Him with this flesh. But that's what He's done for us. So we have that choice. He's given to us. If you accepted. If you receive. That forgiveness. And that reconnection to life in Him. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Read that one more time. For consider Him that endured such contradictions of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, I know I go through some things and I can grow faint and weary very quickly. As I'm looking at situations that are like, oh, this is a freaking mess. I don't know how I'm going to get through that. But that's where you stand strong in the grace of God. That's when you look upon Him, the author and finisher of our faith. considering what he done for us on the cross. And this is the guy that was not guilty at all, had no sin. We are all dead guilty. Some way, shape, or form, dead to rights, guilty. He had no sin. Perfectly innocent. But paid the price for the whole, all the sin in the world. And took it to the cross. And bled for us. And hung for us. So that we can have life eternal with Him. He came down and paid the price because we couldn't do it. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Remember the choice he had to make to go to the cross? He was in the garden. He was praying. He was resisting sin to the point of sweating blood. Not my will be done, but yours, Father. If any chance that this cup can pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. That's how much of a choice he made for us. And to please the Lord. That's how big of a choice. That's how committed he was. For you and for me. We haven't touched out with a 10-foot pole, guys. Love God, love one another. We haven't touched that with a 10-foot pole, I'm telling you. We're quick to get pissed off with one another and our bosses in the situation that we're in. And our authorities are set before us is telling us the truth to save our sorry butts from going in down the wrong road. And you have forgotten the exhortations which speaketh unto you as unto children. And this is the part I really want to get to. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So when you get that correction, you know, I was just this past week, I'm praying, man, what in the world's going on? And then it kicked me right in the tail because of my lack of diligence. Because of my lack of diligence, my unbelief, that I've allowed this to happen the way it has. And, you know, if we can endure that chastening, it's because, first of all, get the grips of God's not a jerk. He loves you. It's for your own good. You know, I mean, I got children. But if I let them do whatever they want, walking in their own way, doing whatever they want to do, getting away with everything, am I loving them? No. I'm loving myself. And I'm too selfish to give enough crap about them to say, that's uncalled for. We're not going to have that. That's going to burn you. That's going to burn you. Scripture talks about beat the hell out of your children. And that's paraphrased. But I don't want any hell in my children. I don't want them to come close to going to hell. That's how the Lord is with us. But see, he's a gentleman. You have free will. It says, if you endure the chastening of the Lord. You know, when David talks, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Both comfort him. Both of them. One, when I get chastened, I know the Lord cares. He's still dealing with my sorry butt. When he has every single right to say, I'm done with you. You're a jerk. Bye. But he's not like that. That's how we are. That's not how he is. No, he loves me. Corrects me. Lord, I'm sorry. I forgive you. Now do this. I love you, son. That's what I get. But the Lord is good. And as we go and we hear these messages, you know, I know there's been some hard messages up here. I know there's been pulling aside of people and people have been talked to and correction has been made. I know that. But endure through it. It's because He loves you. It's because He's good. You know, as Brad was talking about the Corinthians the other night, and I wanted to, and Paul's talking about Colossians. I wanted to go after Brad so bad, you know, because that's what I've been reading is in Corinthians, and that's what I've been listening to. And, you know, one of the parts that where Paul's talking about, even though I made you sorry by letter, you know, he had a correction letter to the Corinthians. It was a hard message. And it made him sorry about where they were at. But, you know, he starts going off, you know, yay, what clearing yourselves. Even though I did not repent of writing you this letter, even though I did repent, he says. But yay, look at what fear of God you have. Yay, look at what desire you have now. Yay, look at what clearing of yourselves that you have now. It has corrected you and put you on the right path. Praise God. Hallelujah. But so many of us, for 10 years in and out of this ministry, correction comes, I'm going, doop, don't like it. And the Lord was, man, the Lord was, and He didn't let me die out there. I'm telling you, man, I was shoving so much junk in my arms, I should have been dead 10 times over. There's that many close calls out there. But the Lord yet still had mercy. He yet still had grace. And He yet still had His hand on me. And every time I turned to Him and said, I'm sorry, Lord. He says, I forgive you, son. Come on back in the fold. I'm not done with you yet. I'm not done with you. Come on. That's how big and graceful He is. But He wants me to get it right. And He's not going to stop correcting me. I want that report at the end of the last day. Enter in, thy good and faithful servant. That's what He wants for me. That's what He wants for you guys. That's what He wants for people that don't know Him. It's the Father's will that all not be lost. But that's just not going to be the case because it's free will at hand. So He doesn't stop correcting me. Or that'd be hateful there. If I stop correcting my children and I don't teach them the ways of the Lord and I don't correct them when they're acting up or misbehaving, that's not loving them. And I'm evil. I don't do it right. He does it perfectly. He does it perfectly, with perfect love. So think on these things. God's not a jerk. He cares for you. Get to the place where you actually crave the chastisement. Man, the Lord's still dealing with me. Thank you. With that, Paul, I'm going to let you come up here.
Thank you, buddy. You know, he not only loves us enough to administer correction, He loves us enough to give those who are faithful enough to give you what you need to keep you connected to Him, however many times it takes. Man, there were 15 years ago, there were no two people any further apart than that one and me. But the Lord's good. And, you know, I was kind of meditating a little bit, or goofing off, and these thoughts came through my mind, however you want to put it. Let me see if I can find it. Sure would be nice for me to be able to find it. Going through this and marking it didn't seem to help this morning. Okay, here we go. There's so many marks on this page, that's the problem. We go into the Beatitudes and we get a whole series of things that it just doesn't make sense how this is ever going to work. Right? And Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Makes sense. Easy enough to love thy neighbor. And Mike can get a petition going against the enemy and get your neighbor to sign it and stand out in front of their house and pick it, or their business and pick it, and get a political movement going against them. Real easy to do that. And we see those kinds of things going on all the time today. But 14 comes along and said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Those which they consider the scum of the earth. Be perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So, exactly how does that work? Well, you know, the Lord's way is that he gives you people in authority over you who have walked in the same course that you've walked, so they can speak with authority on the issues that you're having with yourself and the Lord and the families and relationships and such. And how Paul reported it in Romans was Romans 5. A lot of good marking this stuff did. I think I was saving that one with my finger, and that wasn't a good idea because now my finger is so elsewhere. Romans 5. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. While we were his enemy. A couple of verses back, but God commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Didn't wait for us to become worthy. He took our sin on him and became sin for us. So, Jesus started right out walking out this perfectly. You've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy. He first loved us. Matthew chapter 8 is another example of this walking the stuff out first. This follows in the line of, in Hebrews where it says, you know, what manner of Savior has God given you? One who has been tempted in every way as ye yet without sin.
Right.
He's walked it all. He's been there before us. And we are hid in Christ with God. And that, all of this perfection that he was talking about in Matthew 5 there, perfection is our, a perfecting belief, overcoming unbelief, and trust that Christ is our righteousness. That's the perfection. Chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, they came into... I tell you what. One of us is moving too much. The book seems to be staying still, so it's my eyes. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. All right, now... You've got the Jews in the land God gave them, and a centurion is a Roman occupation force. The enemy, who is the occupier of God's people and his land. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion, that's a strange thing. This is his enemy. I will. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out in the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Success for the centurion, the occupation force, the enemy of God's people. How good is the Lord, right? Love that you've heard. It said, love thy neighbor, hate thy enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. And the last thing I want to look at. And the question I want to pose before I look at it. Is most of the churches today would be, you know, picketing the Roman what was the political operation center of Rome? Or they'd be picketing in Jerusalem. You know, they'd be presenting petitions. Senate. Because we see everything as a natural solution. Jesus was telling them, love your enemies, pray for your enemies, right? And he actually walked it out. That centurion, he agreed right off the rip. Now, there was a member of the woman who comes to him, and she's a Gentile, and he says, man, food at the table's for the people of the kingdom. And she says, yea, Lord, but even the dogs get to eat of the scraps of the table. And he says, be it done now as thou have sought, or some such thing, because I have not really good at paraphrasing that, but she's yet got what she wanted from him because she was able to be humble before him and say, "Yay, Lord, you're right. I agree." But doing things in the natural and doing things in the spirit are different.
Right.
The kingdom operation is the kingdom operation that sends sends Paul into prison. Acts 16:11, 16:16. And came pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew in us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. They weren't going to let them go. Not just chains, but stocks. Everybody knows what stocks are?
Wooden clamps.
They're not even going to be able to walk. At midnight, Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard him. Paul and Silas sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had fled. This guy was in a bad way. He wakes up and sees the doors are open. And he was in charge of the prisoners. He knew it sucked to be him. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." He didn't even leave. Paul was concerned for the guard, the prison guard. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Prison guard. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake with him. They spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. It was the same guard. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. He fed them. Took them into his house and he fed them. So what if the Lord put Paul and Silas in jail for that jailer? And they were willing to be in stocks for that jailer again, part of the occupation force, the enemy of God's people. All this stuff, it's doable, but you have to let the Lord do the surgery on your heart. The Hebrews 12 stuff, the scourging, you need to, when Philip was burnt, what did we have to do?
Had to scrape the scab that started to try to form on him.
He had third degree burns on him. We had to, every day, twice a day, we had to take a brush. And I, of course, my position was one of us needs drugs. I'm just saying. This stuff is stink. It looks like foul. And I'm just... But, you know... That corrupt... If we had left that corrupt there... His skin would have been... all fouled up. It may have never healed. He could have become infected. He could have died from it. We need to be subject to the scourging, to the reproof, to the... We need to know the mind of the Lord. The Lord has His way set up. He has His ministers in place. There are people you can go to know what you need to know, to be so of such a mind as to consider yourself the Lord's bondslave. They were more about going to the people the Lord had for them and giving them the gospel, even if they were the enemy. Because they considered themselves God's bond slave. We are not nor naturally wired to give a rat's to care for our enemies. In fact, we think good of ourselves if we've left a situation without killing him, or at least administering a beating. Right? But that's not what Jesus says the requirement is. In Matthew 5, the requirement is, I say unto you, love your enemies. And I've brought here forth, what, three examples. Jesus walked it out. Jesus' apostles walked it out. And the enemies, while we were enemies of God, the salvation of the gospel was brought to us anyway. We're all enemies of God. We all start out that way. You know, the charge comes against Jesus. You sit with publicans and sinners. You sit with publicans and sinners. Who else is there to sit with? There's me and there's publicans and sinners. Right? We all start in the same place. The question is, how much do we want to know the Lord and have the Lord's things and have His grace and mercy and have the manifestations of His love and power? And a soundness of a sound mind. How much do we want that? He's not going to twist your arm. Open up your head and pour it all in there. His disciples walked around with him for 3 years learning it. Then he snatched Paul and took him into the wilderness, 14 years teaching him. The stuff doesn't come natural to us. There's a learning curve. But God has set His people to help y'all navigate the knowledge base that there is. They have the experience base to be able to, by reason of use, the term Hebrews uses, you gain experience and understanding and knowledge. And it's not for you, it's for the next person you minister to, whether they're your friend or your enemy. When Paul says there is no respect of persons, that goes to the extent it doesn't matter whether they're a friend or your enemy. The gospel is the tool by which your enemy can become God's friend. And if you're God's friend, you're welcome. Welcome him with open arms. I got to tell you, we're not naturally like this. But God's way is designed to bring us in his perfection, in his perfect faith, to the point where we are able to love even our enemies. And once again, we were all started out enemies of God. Well, I didn't think I was going to make it under the time limit, but I am done. Y'all search the words. Avail yourself of the talent here. You know, the Lord's good. And his ways are to bring together stuff that never looks like it's ever going to work. Philip and I being an example. If I had money to bet 15 years ago, I would never bet Philip would be the child that was mine out of the whole bunch. But he is. Amen. And the Lord is good to both of us.